Friends, grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. You can be sure, friends, that if this passage were not chosen for me today, it would not be one that I preach on. This passage, it tests us. It tests our understanding of Jesus. It tests our understanding of the Bible. It tests our theology, because Jesus' words here are difficult. And how we interpret Jesus' words, they reveal a lot about who we think God is. Jesus says, "I came to bring fire," and how I wish it were already kindled. Well, in Scripture, there is this history of fire. Fire rained down destruction on Sodom and Gomorrah. Fire was Isaac's fate as he walked up the hillside with Abraham. Fire consumed the prophets on Mount Baal who went against God. Fire in the Gehenna Valley is what Jesus preaches about. We know that commonly as hell. Fire, it can be destructive and consuming and punishment for those who go against God. Many of us read the fire that Jesus is talking about in the lineage of this destructive fire, and we see Jesus revealing here yet another step in God's wrath and damnation on the world. And in fact, the apostles John and James, they believed that this was the kind of fire that Jesus was going to bring. And so at one point in the gospel stories, Jesus sends them all out. And James and John, they ask, Lord, can we rain down fire on the towns that don't follow your message? Y'all remember what Jesus says? No, you can't do that. And then he kind of laughs and he goes, "I'm going to call you all sons of thunder. That's going to be your nickname." But there's something about reading this kind of fire into what Jesus what Jesus says. It feels good. It feels right. Right? The people who do wrong, fire. The people who break the law, fire. Those who go against God, fire. In popular theology, bad theology has trained us to read Scripture in that way, to interpret it like James and John. This is a God who can't wait to rain down punishment to those who break the law. And as a result of not being able to see it any other way, we kind of just duck our heads when Jesus talks like this and wait for a nicer Jesus to come along. But there has to be another way, right? Well, fire isn't only destructive in Scripture. Fire burns a bush, and it doesn't consume it. And that fire, it attracts Moses, and God transforms his life. A pillar of fire guides the Israelites out of slavery in Egypt. And then later, Moses, he ascends the mountain of God into cloud and into fire. And the prophet Malachi, he uses fire imagery too. He says, "For God is like a refiner's fire. God will sit as a refiner and a purifier of silver and gold, and God will purify God's people." But it's not only in the Old Testament, it's in the New Testament. After Jesus, after he ascends up into heaven, fire rains down on God's people like tongues. We call it Pentecost. In Scripture, fire, it doesn't consume, it attracts. It leads like a pillar. It purifies like a refiner. It makes us holy as it did the disciples on Pentecost. In today's reading, the fire that Jesus wants to bring is a fire of change, the fire of God's active presence in the world, and that's why he's so eager to strike the match. Because it's a fire that attracts, it's a fire that leads, it's a fire that makes holy, and it's a fire that is sweeping across creation. But fire is still fire. Jesus comes to bring a fire that divides. He says, "Do you think that I've come to bring peace to the earth? No, I tell you, rather division." Jesus' fire, friends, it doesn't bring peace to everyone. It divides one person from another, because in Jesus' fire, there is a right and there is a wrong. And his fire will speak and it will lead and it will purify and it will make holy. And for those unwilling to allow those things to happen in their lives, like all fire, it's not going to feel good. So we have to pick a side. There's a story about a teenage girl at summer camp. And she's torn between two sets of friends. Some of them are sunbathing on the dock, and they're saying, "Hey, stay here with us. We really want you to be here." And the other set of friends are on a rowboat, and they're saying, "No, come with us out on the lake." And so she stood there with one foot on the dock and one foot on the boat, and the boat was moving away. And so trying to appease everyone, trying not to decide, she ends up falling in the lake. This is exactly what Jesus is addressing in the gospel lesson today. See, we have a corrupt desire to please everyone. But Jesus himself doesn't even do that. He's warning us that there will be times when following him will require us to turn away from something else. And friends, not everyone is going to be happy. There will be times in life when you are required to say yes to one thing and no to another. But often the action we most often take is like the girl on the dock, trying to keep one foot on both. We try to go in both directions. We try to say yes to it all, and we end up falling between the seams, and we end up being miserable. Well, friends, the boat of the kingdom of God is moving, and we got to jump on board. We have to pick a side. Karl Popper, a 1945 philosopher, he comes up with this paradoxical idea. It's the paradox of intolerance. You have all ever heard about this? The paradox of intolerance? Or the paradox of tolerance, I should say. He writes this: in order to maintain a tolerant society, the society must be intolerant of intolerance, or it will perish. And it'll perish because the intolerance will root out the tolerance. See, Jesus brings fire to those who do not love the poor, to those who do not love the weak and the marginalized, and those without little power, and those who need to be cared for. Jesus comes to bring division to those who hate, and those who scorn, and those who hold bitterness in the heart. Jesus brings fire to the whole world, and that means that oppression is going to burn. Greed is going to smolder. Idolatry is going to catch in flames. Racism will be incinerated, and exploitation and dehumanization and narcissism and all of the other evils that you can name that prevent the flourishing of all of God's people in creation, it's going to go up in smoke. God will divide people one from another. But it's a fire that speaks God's word. It's a fire that leads, and it purifies, and it makes holy. And if we put ourselves on the side of love and justice and peace and tolerance and kindness and mercy and compassion, then we will not be separated and divided in the flames. One day we will be purified with the fire that Jesus brings. And at the same time, at the very same time, none of us is perfect, right? Romans tells us no one is righteous, not one. Well, Jesus' fire, it will divide our own souls from the sins that we commit. It will divide and it will purify us as individuals. God will take every sin and burn it up within us. God will take every wrongdoing and divide us from it. God will take every evil so that we are just on the boat. And we stop trying to hold on to both worlds. And the flames of Jesus' fire have already been lit. Friends, doesn't the Holy Spirit burn within you when you sin? Those times when you may hurt your family member with your words, doesn't your conscience burn afterwards? In those instances when you act in selfish ways, can you feel God's purifying your soul and calling you to act differently? When you hold on to anger and bitterness and resentment, isn't the Holy Spirit already sparking the fire of repentance in you? Jesus came to bring fire, to bring the kingdom of God, and we either let it engulf us and not consume us and endure its purifying, or we turn to ash. Friends, we are caught up in God's fire now. A fire that attracts us to seek God. A fire that leads us into new ways of life. A fire that purifies us from our past sins. And a fire that makes us holy, not because of anything that we do, but because of the work of Jesus on the cross. So let us receive this fire with joy. Amen.